limits, which meant that he was stuck here with whatever else lived in the airport. In the daytime, the idea didn't bother him, but at night, like now, when the crowds faded, when the lights were switched to half power, when the world outside turned black, he shivered. Last week, he had returned from the bathroom after a quick shampoo to his seat near the windowed east wall of the Delta Wing, and his magazines had been moved. Not just moved, tampered with. The page he'd marked in Newsweek had been ripped out. The Playboy he'd kept hidden between the other periodicals had been placed on top and opened to the centerfold. And his People magazine had been thrown on the floor. There'd been no one else in this wing of the terminal for the past hour, and he'd seen no one on his way to or from the bathroom, but the proof was there. And he'd quickly gathered up his stuff and hurried back to a more populated section of the terminal. The next night, he'd had no magazines or newspapers with him, and was about to settle down to a little nap when he saw, on the section of seats he'd chosen, an array of magazines spread out. Guns and Ammo, Hunting, American Hunter, Hunter and Prey. On the carpeted floor in front of the seats, drawn with spilled cherry icy, was the outline of a bloody claw, and next to that, a toothy smile. It was hunting him. It had been a warning, Teddy thought, or a game being played with him. Either way, he didn't like it, and he quickly gathered together today's belongings, as he suddenly noticed that this area of the terminal was emptying out, and that outside, night had already fallen. He saw himself reflected in the huge window that faced the runway, a ghost against the blackness, and the insubstantiality of his form made him nervous, made him feel as though he'd already died. He quickly headed back toward the shops. Ever since the warning, he'd stayed near people, stayed near the light. Security guards had looked at him suspiciously several times, and he realized that he was in danger of giving himself away, of breaking cover, but he could not help it. He was afraid to be alone, afraid of what might find him, afraid of what it might do to him. He looked behind him as he walked. At the far end of the darkened wing, by the empty lounge and boarding area that had once been occupied by Pan Am, he saw a jet-black shadow, a shifting, amorphous shape that fluttered from an unused flight desk down the corridor to the seat where he'd been sitting. He started running. Sweat was pouring down his face, and his heart was pounding crazily. He was gripped by the absurd but unshakable notion that the shadow, the creature, the monster, the whatever it was, had seen him and was chasing after him and was going to down him and devour him in front of the snack bar. But he reached the snack bar with no problem, saw a security guard and a cashier, a businessman reading a newspaper at a small table, a young couple trying to soothe a crying baby. And when he looked back toward the darkened wing, he saw nothing out of the ordinary. Breathing heavily, still shaking, he walked into the snack bar. He was aware of how he looked, and when he walked up to the cashier, asked for a cup of water, wiped the sweat from his forehead, and saw the look she shot the security guard, he immediately dug through his pocket for spare change and amended his order to a small coffee. He didn't really want coffee, but he wanted to sit down and get his equilibrium back, wanted to be near other people, and he thanked the cashier and grabbed a seat near the pile of luncheon trays at the back of the small eating area. What the hell was going on? Was he going crazy? Possibly. He knew he wasn't the most normal person in the world to begin with, but he didn't think he was hallucinating here, didn't think he was suffering from delusions. Something had tampered with his magazine.